3.
Be?
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16,
you gotta love
31.
This, Doug.
C.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord.
Doug?
This is right. Ephesians 6, 1.
Employee.
D. Depart from evil and do good.
The ABCs of the Bible.
Even a child is known by his doings. Proverbs 20:11.
Fear not.
Yeah, this is the good stuff.
I am with you.
Right.
Isaiah 43:5.
God is love. 1 John 4:8.
Yeah. The ABCs of the Bible. I'm talking over it so we don't lose too many listeners.
I'm the vine, you're the branches, John 15:5.
Oh, wait, this is
good stuff.
Read that
one.
Okay.
I'm just going to flip to the song real
quick. Evil. Psalm 34:13. Look unto me and be ye saved. Isaiah 45:22.
Marvel not, you must be born again. John 3:7.
No man can serve two masters. Matthew 6:24.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
The mics are on.
Psalm 118:1.
Oh,
praise
talk,
the Lord.
I mean,
Psalm 127:1.
Quench not the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19.
I'm gonna open my eyes. W-S-O-T-S.
Seek ye first.
Okay, we're gonna stop that song. It's bad. It's the ABCs of the Bible, and it's fun to listen to, but probably good enough to scare everyone away. My name's Shane. I'm here with Amy. And Doug.
Right.
We're working on, it seems like I'm doing all these shows in a row, and I am, and we are. But we're working on an impromptu type of talk show. We didn't come up with any topic but a letter, and the first thing that comes to our mind when we say a letter. This week, or this show, I shouldn't say this week, because we don't know how the stations that'll take these shows will play them. But this show is D, and that's our topic. That's our letter for the day. And we just, whatever comes to our mind first with the letter D, we just tell a story if we have one, if we can squeeze one out. Last couple of shows, A, B, and C. You missed anal. Some good anal stories. You missed some good Beanie Baby stories, some cookie recipes. And now it's D. Who started last time? C was cookies. B was Beanie Babies. A is anal.
I think Doug has to start D.
Oh, you're right. I forgot. We have a Doug in D.
No, all right.
Dickheaded right. Doug is his technical nickname around here.
Yeah, so it's my letter.
Yeah.
Goddamn right.
Well, Goddamn, G.
All right, all right, right.
Damn it.
Damn right. So I got another highfalutin word like I had for A. All
You're right. such a dick.
But it's defenestration.
What's wrong with you, man?
I don't know.
Are you going to be a words. Professor?
No.
Are you going to be in 12 years a professor like some professor where people call, do you understand what he was about 15 years ago?
And believe me, they don't have a dictionary here. So I have this in my head. Anyways,
what do you mean believe we don't? What the fuck, motherfucker?
Who do you think we are?
Well, I didn't consult a dictionary here.
You know what? Later, we're going to have, for I, we're going to insert a dictionary in Doug's rectum.
Anyways, defenestration is when you jump out a window, and I have a story about that. A friend of mine stole a skull for me out of a crypt.
What is defenestration? What the fuck?
Defenestration is when you jump out of a window.
Why can't you just say jump out of the window, or crazy motherfucker?
Because if you're writing like an obituary or mm-hmm. something, sounds better if you say it in one word. He died of defenestration.
Where did you find out about
this
word?
They never say how people died in obituaries.
But if you were going to write an obituary.
No.
Perhaps it would be a eulogy.
No, if you were going to write an obituary. Where did you find out about this word, though, really, Doug?
I don't know. It's just one of those words.
You know! You know!
You know Doug reads the dictionary while he's sitting
I know Doug.
So
I know Doug
smart.
Knows dick, but...
Anyways, he steals a skull out of a crypt in France. And he crotches it to get out. It was one
Who
of those.
Is this though? This is a story about your friend.
Yeah, the drunken Murphy
who jumped out of a window.
Yeah, but
and his defenestration.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
but he had this skull, and then that
where
night,
was this at?
This was in France. He went to France, and he figured I'd like this skull. But it's on a crypt tour, so he has to crotch it—a fucking skull, you know. As you know, they look for people stealing that shit.
And this is a drunk.
Yeah.
That's the drunk we drew on his face. D for drunk. Right. We drew on his face with markers when he passed out of the party.
Right, he passed out, right.
And he's a total dick. Okay, so he's the triple D threat here. And now he's suffered from defenestration. Yeah.
Yeah, anyways, he got roaring drunk that night in France.
What a dick.
And then he was having nightmares about this skull he stole. So this led him to jump out a two-story window.
And where is he from?
Detroit.
Wow. He's got the four Ds going around him. We can make a nice picture of him. His face with dick, drunk, defenestration, Detroit.
Right, right. I, too, am from Detroit, so it stands to reason.
Yeah.
Doug from Detroit.
Yeah.
And it's every bit as foul as they say it is.
Detroit?
Oh, fuck yeah. It was worse when I was a kid. You know, they used to have Devil's Night, full swing.
Oh, another
D. They burn that city down every year. And I was hoping they would burn it down again. Pistons won. But you were just telling me, I didn't even hear the news. 9 people got shot.
Well, but about the Devil's Night, when did that stop? Because that was going on until about fucking, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, it was going strong. Everybody go out and fucking burn down.
Maybe 8 years ago, huh?
It was, you know.
Because when me and Amy were first getting married and stuff like that, we went through Detroit and there was shit that was on fire. And it was no Devil's Night. It was like Tuesday, June 3rd or something. And it's fucking shit was on fire.
Oh, shit was burning all the time. I was in a hospital in Detroit once and I looked out from my room and I got a good view of the city and I could see a couple houses burning. I mean, you'd think there'd be nothing left to burn in this fucking place.
And it's not just Devil's Night.
Oh, no. It's like arson capital. It's where it's at. I mean,
fucking Jesus.
But sometimes, I've heard different stories. I've heard sometimes it's people collecting, I don't know, like the little landlord, collecting property value somehow by burning this place down. Or concerned citizens burning down a crack house because it's been condemned and nobody's going to do anything about it. And other times it's just silly little shits running around lighting shit on fire because that's what they want to do.
Hey, I saw the Eminem 8 Mile movie. They burned a building down in there.
And it was a good deed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, what a dick.
Yeah. I mean, best thing you can do to Detroit is burn it all down.
And why is that, Doug? Is it the coloreds?
Yeah, the place is just a shithole. I mean, they're not going to do anything with it. Fuck it. They should carpet bomb it and start again.
What's your D word, Amy? Or yeah. D? You got anything to throw out there? D?
Death, drugs, doom, and Dennis Dahl.
Well, you're going to have to start with one of them with a story, so. We went over drugs with addiction, so why don't you do death, Amy? You've got a lot of good death stories. As a matter of fact, if you want to check out Amy's website, horrorofhorror.com, there's some really fucked up, Amy's tales of woe on there are some really fucked up stories, and some of them are true. The ones that you would think are not true are the true ones. Let me tell you that. And I know this. I just know where Amy came from. I know I met some of her friends, and, you know, I've hung out with Amy long enough to know that shit's that she's in the real. Amy lives in the real, man. And
in the now, as Charlie
no,
said.
I say in the real, all right? Motherfucker, don't correct me. Corrections on C. It's the real. And Amy's all about the real, okay? And that isn't the now, it's the past. Okay? Tell them a death story, Amy. Maybe one that's not on your website. Because I know I've heard stories about Amy having boyfriends that drove around with dead bodies in the trunk. Amy had a boyfriend that was slash a pimp that got shot dead at a phone booth. Amy watched a person get their head stepped on till the brains popped out of the top.
So you never met a jealous ex-boyfriend, hey?
I wouldn't give a fuck. They won't want to meet me. I don't give a fuck how big her friends are or what they do. They better kill me or I fuck them up. And I'm not talking either. I mean, don't fuck with me. That's it. I'm a survivor, bitch. You know what I'm saying? All right.
You know, I have so many dead people. I'm going to do a book, Dead People I Used to Know.
Oh, great story. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Great idea
because
for a book.
I know so
it's
many.
It's going to get stolen now.
You think people know enough dead people to fill a book?
They'll lie. It's some cunt like Jim Gota listening. He'll still Dead People I Used to Know, even though he's never left his fucking typewriter. Oh, I forgot. That's C for cunt.
Oh, I got a good one. In fact, I was just reminded of the story recently because
so
I did
your
a
book
search.
Story. I'm sorry to interrupt. Dead People I Used to Know. That's a book Amy's going to work on. And that's a great...
I'm working on it.
Yeah, right. She's worked right. And that's a stellar idea. Cause tell them about that book. How many people are dead that you know? And I just named off four off the top of my head.
Yeah, geez. I don't know. Probably a couple hundred. I probably know quite a few dead people.
A couple hundred is exaggeration.
Okay, 100.
I mean, Amy does know. How many of your girlfriends have ended up in the lake over here?
A couple.
Two or three, right?
A couple, yeah, in Wolf Lake.
Shit, no shit, man. We'll read a paper or story. There'll be something on the news. There's a girl end up on the lake. Amy goes, I bet you that's one of my friends. And sure as shit, it is. This is the killing fields out here. That's Cal City, the Calumet region. So,
right.
So talk,
just
Amy.
South
so I
of
can,
Chicago.
I've had a lot of sugar, chocolate, and coffee.
Well, we recently, Shane had a friend over from Serial Killer Central, and we were talking
SKCentral.com.
about... SKCentral.com.
Right. Joe.
And we were talking about serial killers in this area, and there was one guy who was gutting hookers, and we couldn't remember his name. So I did a search on my local newspaper website, and I found this crime I had forgotten all about. When I was a kid, I knew this family, the Nixage family. In fact, I dated the youngest Nixage in junior high. But the oldest one, Eddie, went to school with my sister. And this other guy we knew, Pee-wee, who was like this hot guy who never went to school ever in his entire life. I think he dropped out in second grade. And he owed Eddie Nixage and this other dude some money, so they ran into him at a bar, and they invited him back to his apartment. So they get him to the apartment, and Eddie Nixage, his friend, and his friend's dad kill Pee-wee and the guy he's with, throw him in the trunk, and drive around with him for about a week. And anytime they drive up to their friends, hey, how you doing? They drove up to the woods, and they'd be like, hey, look what we got in the trunk. And they'd open the trunk and show everybody their dead friend.
Who is this now? The dead friend is Pee-wee?
Pee-wee Graves.
Right.
Fitting name, huh?
Is that his real name?
Yeah, it was Ernest Graves is his real name.
That's cool.
Everybody, I always knew him as Pee-wee. And when they got caught, of course, you know, driving around showing people your dead friend in the trunk, of course they got caught. And the guy who him and his father were two of the killers, he admitted later that he had killed like eight girls and dumped them in Powderhorn Lake. So he turned out to be a serial killer.
Fucked up. Death.
So the friend of yours was the guy who was killed, not the serial
killer. I knew two of
them.
I knew Eddie Nixage, one of the killers, and I knew Pee-wee, the killee, as it were.
And this is totally separate from the other guy you dated that had a body in his trunk.
Yeah, totally different.
Yeah, that's funny. You know, we should have waited for the end of the show for that one. I don't know what to say anymore. That's a good one, Death.
I know. You put a dirty Sanchez on both of us.
I've seen a couple deaths. I saw someone, not as you know, personal, but I did see someone thrown on the third rail once right in front of me and get electrocuted. That was, you know. Oh,
really?
As far as death goes, though, I did grow up in a funeral home. At least I spent my summers in a funeral home, so it was really weird. I used to help set out flowers for funerals and stuff like that, and I'd always, like, the first couple of times I'd poke at the, I, you know, I'd see this body laying there in the face. The skin didn't look real. It's all makeup and stuff like that. And I'd poke the face. I'd like poke the cheek. And I remember the first time I did it, I poked it and it cracked. It all cracked apart. And I'd run up the stairs, you know, and run up.
Cracked how? Like the makeup coming
off? Right, right. Well, I didn't know at the time why.
Right.
It took a couple of years for me to understand why it cracked. I thought it was crumbling like glass or something. You know, I was like, oh, my God, I fucking ran out of there. Right. After a couple more years seeing my uncle prepare bodies and stuff, I had, and I'll talk more about the funeral home on F in a couple shows. But finding out more, I found out that I cracked the makeup. It was so much makeup caked on there that cracked or something like that. And I remember getting in trouble that day. My uncle's like, what happened? Who did that? And, you know, I said, oh, I ran into them with the flowers. But they knew I was lying, and they looked at me then like I was a sick, demented person, you know. And when it finally came out what I did for a living, and it was on the cover of the Reader and all the serial killer stuff I sell or whatever, they called my parents and say, see, we told you he was fucked up, you know, whatever. And anyway, that's I can't top Amy's death stories.
That's there's death D, Dana Plato.
Yeah, Dana. Why did you want to ask me about Dana Plato? I don't really talk about that too much now, but
why not?
It's a horrible thing. I didn't like it. I got it out of my system with that book and CD I did, and I left it behind. That's why I did that book and CD. It was hard to deal with. To tell you the truth, it was real hard. It took me probably a year out of my life, and made me reassess things. It was a real hard thing. I know people, hard to believe, there I am taking tens of thousands of dollars from Extra and the National Enquirer and other people to do stories and stuff, but at the fucking time, I do this for a living. I don't have a job, so when someone offers me $5,000 to talk, I talk. And I did it for all the right reasons, but what else am I going to say about it? You have a specific question? It was horrible. The whole experience is horrible to befriend someone, I guess my whole problem always is with potential. I don't mind a person dying. And I don't mind a drug addict, but it's the ones that break my heart are the ones with so much potential, great potential. They can do something. And Dana Plato had, she started, I made friends with her, and she had so much potential and so much creativity and a lot of life in her. And she really wanted to live that life, and she was full of that and had potential to do something cool and do something with her controversy. And it was a sad thing, and I was so close to it, like she literally died on the phone to me, and I was on the phone with her every day for fucking 60 days, dude, fucking 8 hours a day. I listened every aspect of her life. So I understood she was getting out of the gutter. She was really, I can understand that. And it was, I don't know. Is there something specific
that
you want to know about that? I mean,
I really don't know the story that much. I was never, I didn't really know her. I didn't, I don't know what she, I've never seen anything she was in or
Dana Plato. I'm a little older than you. Yeah, it's before your time. I'm a little older than you. I grew up watching Dana Plato on TV, and she was about probably a little older than me. She was
on Different Strokes.
Yeah, on Different Strokes, and I'd seen that, and it was like a prepubescent type of Different Strokes, right? It was a prepubescent type of love affair. I think I whacked off to her, one of the first whack offs I had or something like that. So it's that base. I found out she was stripping in Vegas and wanted to exploit her and, get a sniff of that crotch or something. And when it worked out, I wanted to bring her up to Chicago to get her top off on the internet or something and make money. And we became friends and shit, we were starting to work on a nice book, a coffee table book of memories and shit like that. And, and I know that sounds weird, that but it sucked because she had potential. She had potential. It sucked to go through that shit. It was weird. I don't know.
Well, there seems to be controversy on the internet, not about Dana Plato that I know of, but about Dirty Sanchez. Now, when you're giving a Dirty Sanchez, do you stick your finger in her butt and rub it over her upper lip, or do you stick your finger in your own ass and then smear it across her upper lip? Or does it matter?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you. I thought you were the Dirty Sanchez master.
Oh, no. I don't like... I would never do that in a second. just because I like a prostate rub once in a while has nothing to do with humiliation, degradation, or, gross. Can you imagine?
I thought it was a mixed drink, Dirty Sanchez.
I would imagine a Dirty Sanchez, though, the whole trip on that is to fucking do that to someone who doesn't like it. It's like humiliation, right?
Oh, right. It's like the guys who go out to get the prostitute and stay all dirty. Don't clean themselves. You're talking about it.
On A or something like that.
Yeah, further back, yeah.
Yeah, I would assume that's something that you would do to an unsuspecting victim, for sure.
Yeah.
Serve and protect, man. You got to be protecting yourself. Watch out for that fucking stink finger rubbing under your nose.
Yeah, yeah. Don't let somebody hold your head under the covers.
Yeah. What song are we playing, Amy? You gave me a song here. What is it?
Die Wurza.
Are you going to keep pumping out these fag tunes or what? You got any Venom in the mix?
For V.
All right. Well, Amy's a good DJ. I'm not going to fuck with you too much. I'm just, hey. Die Warza,
I'm going to have to do another D song for E because I got nothing for E.
Easy E.
Oh, there we go.
Easy motherfucking E. E. That's what I got. When I flip my page to E, It says Ed the Creep and E, Easy Motherfucking E. And, of course, my favorite subject, Ego. Here, Die Warza. That's a good song, I think, right? What song?
Second.
Second. Second. All right. Enjoy the song, kiddo.
Thank you.
song ended pretty abruptly.
Yeah, it's
abrupt. That's cool. That was Chris Connolly, was it? Or no?
Dire Warsaw.
They sound the fucking same to me. Gay, and Doug loves them. And the letter is D. And this is an impromptu type of talk show we're doing where we have not really a topic. We're just using a letter.
Oh, you know what? I wanted to ask you, too. I don't know if you'll be able to cover it in time. The fucking door. You had a story. Somebody was trying to bust down your door.
We'll use that for another one. Breaking a robbery or something like that. I was going to say dad, but I can't. I don't know. Door? I'll go with door. Fuck it. Door, Amy? You want to talk about that guy trying to break in the door? Remember?
Yeah. You guys
Doug wanted
about
to
really,
talk
yeah.
about that. Okay. We live in Hammond, Indiana. Home of the fucking asshole, cunt, dirtiest, dickhead politicians. They don't do anything here. Anyway, I'm taking a train to the city once, and I see this dude hanging out in the corner. I get really creeped by it. I come home, talk to Amy about it. And she says, oh, yeah, the guy was creepy. You know, he's over here, over there. I shut the door, lock things up. Well, sure as shit, the next Saturday, I'm sitting on the couch, and I hear someone trying to fucking, like, they try to open the door first. And then they knock, and then they're, like, trying to open it. And I open the door, I go, what the fuck do you need? And he goes, I was looking for some kids. He walks away. I call the fucking cops. Fuck this shit, man. Try to break in. And I go get my beater, you know, my big stick, my axe handle. And I go out there to fucking, you know, do the smackdown or something. I'm worried. Someone tried to break into my place. Cops, and I got 2 minutes here, but the cops come, Hammond dickhead cops, and they beat his ass on someone's porch. Like, they're beating him like Rodney fucking King. It was great to see, because the asshole tried to break into my house. I wish they would have shot him fucking dead. But they really beat his ass, and the guy fought back a lot. So there's the door story. How do you like that door there in my office with the big inch gap there on the top?
Right. Nah, yeah. Good for the winter.
Oh, yeah. Well, in this, I have a hole in my bathroom ceiling. So in the winter, I sat here and I wonder why I got a walking case of pneumonia. And then I figured it out was the draft from the hole in my bathroom and the no door there. You're speaking of door for D and this big fucking gap in my door. That's how I had gotten walking pneumonia.
So you get this breeze coming
from
through.
The doors. Yeah. Yeah. So Doug wanted me to talk about door for D. Boring. I wanted to say dad. Or my brother Derek, or the one of the bigger influences on me growing up. My real, like, my father was my father, but my dad was Steve Dahl. And this is like a DJ in Chicago. If you go to Dahl.com, D-A-H-L, you'll see he's the guy who did, Disco Demolition. He's the guy who did that. And growing up, it was cool. I'm like a fucking teenager, 10 years old, whatever, and he's getting on the radio breaking disco records. Disco sucks. Disco sucks. So it was real cool to drive up to the local disco, and he'd have the van out there, and all these fucking prime fucking pieces of pussy hanging on him, and there everyone smoking weed, and he'd open up the van door, and it's a loop van. You know, he's a DJ, but he's nationally known. And he all like, Wangle Tango's playing, right? Ted Nugent, big speakers. And they're blaring it at the disco, causing trouble. It was cool. Anyway, we got 30 seconds. I'm Shane, evilnow.com. Amy?
Amy, horrorofhorror.com.
Doug, justgenics.com.
Yeah, tune in next time for the letter E. I think we'll be playing some Easy E.
No more industrial music till P.
Oh, come on, Amy. I'm not giving you grief. Your music tastes are unprecedented. I'm sure everyone's entertained. I'm just I give everyone a hard time. The love of my life, Amy, horrorofhorror.com. See you later, everybody. All right, I say we take a break, and if anyone is listening on the live server, I'm going to play some...